Wake up everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. They don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our mind. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, need a little help. Say it, boy. Need some help, y'all. Change the world. What it used to be. Can't do it alone. Can't do it alone. Need some help, yeah. Need some help, yeah. Stop lying.
color. Everybody, we need each other. Wake up, everybody. Well, see, we need, wake up, everybody. We
come
need,
on now, wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking. Time for thinking ahead. Wake up, all your teachers. Start to teach a new way. They're the ones that suffer each and every day. Teach the children.
Teach the baby.
Teach the
baby.
Teach the children.
Teach the children.
Teach the
baby.
Teach the children.
Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good, and love each other with genuine affection, and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in a confident hope. Be patient in trouble, and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great and mighty word. And just let us pray. Oh, Lord God, we enter your presence with hearts of thanksgiving for who you are and all you have done for us. We thank you for this day. We thank you for life, love, fellowship, and friendship. Lord, we just thank you for the avenue of Blog Talk Radio and bring back the family. God, we pray that you use us and this venue to help us learn how we really can bring back the family in the manner that you mean for families to operate. Lord God, please let bring back the family to provide a way to help your children do what it is you have for them to do. We are all your children. And please help the parents to give the youth what is needed to make it in this world. And Lord, we know that the thing we need the most is more of you. Father God, you have ordained that bring back the family, concentrate on the youth. If your word says that when children are brought up knowing your ways, when they are ordered, they will not depart from you, then the opposite is surely true. So we start this discussion sober-mindedly that if young people are not raised knowing you, not rooted in you, and not guided in your righteousness, we will be victims later on for not helping. And so we ask your blessings this afternoon on all who will speak, and to them that are listening, let your glory come forth in Jesus' name. Amen. And so just thank God for that word and prayer. Begin the song. We always talk about the song and how it says a lot, and that it is a call for us as people to wake up and wake up to what's happening around us. It's a call for people to wake up, get engaged, and make a difference. It talks about hatred, war, and poverty, challenges that have been with us since the beginning of time, and calling for reform and change, awareness, hope, and accountability. So whose responsibility is it? No more backwards thinking. Times of thinking ahead. It encourages all people to do better because they can do better when they are faced with a better tomorrow. So who is responsible? And who is willing to sacrifice and take responsibility in making this world a better place for our youth to live in? Are we willing to roll up our sleeves and get to it? What are we going to make up in our mind to do? What? So, Bring Back the Family is a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth in order for them to be good, productive citizens, so that our youth can contribute and be a contribution to society and others all around the world. All they need is a good foundation. And they just need a start, a do-over, a bogey, as they say, and they need us to help them. So what are we going to make up in our minds to do to help make this world a better place for our youth? Our children will be, and, you know, they will be in charge of the next chapters of life. They'll be the ones carrying the torch and running the race and doing great things because we prepare for them in the future. We prepare for the next generation. We reach back, we help, we taught them, we gave them whatever they need so that they can go forward into the future. Okay? Today we're going to talk about fathers. We're going to talk about fathers, communication. We're going to talk about what happened in Texas. We all just one day away, okay? So my brother told me that my show should be called Bring Back the Fathers. I asked him, and I asked some other fathers to come on and to help us talk about, you know, what it is that we could do to help bring back the fathers. I'm not a man. I'm not a father, so I don't know. I don't know all the issues. I don't know everything that's going on. But you do. You men and you fathers, you do know what's going on and what it is that we need to do, you know, to help bring the fathers back to the home, back to the family. What are the problems? What are the issues? What are they? How do we bring the fathers back to the family? What is wrong and where is the breakdown? We all want to understand and be able to help and find a solution so that we can be supportive of one another. So Bring Back the Family is about our youth, and they are the ones that are important and should be thought about when it comes to parenting. They need both parents, mother and father, actively engaged in their lives. And maybe if we discuss the issue, then some awareness may come about and we can make it better for our youth and for us. Because we do. We all need each other. We all need each other. Okay? And, you know, communication is important. Any of those fathers that's on now, you know, if you're on, press 1. So I know that you're on. And we need you to just talk to us about that. How are we going to bring the fathers back to the family? What are some of the things that we should know? I think that once we all just get this thing going block by block, and everybody is engaged in activities and just letting the kids know that we care and that they're seeing what we're doing. They're seeing us cutting our grass. They're seeing us keeping our surroundings clean. They're seeing us go to work. They're seeing us doing the things that men and fathers do, you know, or mothers or whoever, you know, is around, just as a community on the block. They're looking at us. They're watching us. So I think that, you know, them seeing us engaged in family work, in community work, and doing things, you know, that they can see right on our block, you know, keeping them busy, the men coming out talking to them, and getting them engaged and just spending that quality time will help that younger generation of young fellows coming up see how this is supposed to go, how it's supposed to be, you know. So if you're listening, you called in, and one of the men that I asked to call in and speak on these things, then we'll have, you know, a good conversation about this. And then us as women can know, you know, some of the things that we need to do so that wherever that breakdown is, we can combat, we can help, we can think about it when we see it, you know. But if we don't know, then how will we be able to do anything about it, you know. I talked to so many young couples this week, and it really is a breakdown, and it's no communication. I don't know, because we don't know how to communicate. I don't know. Tell us, man, how do we communicate that you're listening, that we get this thing together as a team, you know, as one, and working like-mindedly and working for the kids, you know. Because we got to, you know, have enough of ourselves to be able and put ourselves aside to be able to even just look and see what our kids need, you know. I talked to a couple last week, and they were arguing in front of their children. And I was like, wow, you know. So I got engaged and started talking to them, you know, because what your kids see is what they're going to do. You're being great parents to them, but if they see you in these situations and you're arguing and not getting along, you know, that gets into their being, you know, and kind of unbalanced and sort of emotional as well. So they're thinking, okay, this is a normal. I don't know if it's a normal. Okay, this is how I'm supposed to treat my wife, and we're supposed to be arguing about situations instead of discussing. And they said they were discussing it, but, you know, each minute went by, it got louder and louder and louder. I was like, wow, what's going on in the background? You know, talk to the kids. And you guys are having a serious discussion going on, and it sounds like it was heated. So, spoke with both of them and just let them know, because look what has happened. 19 children have been just wiped off of this earth. Just that simple. And while we're arguing and bickering back and forth, and having disagreements and all that, you know, somebody is preying on our kids. Somebody is planning some kind of evil deed to do to our kids. And we are focused, arguing about silliness. Okay? And so that gives you a good cause to be, should be praying. Praying and thinking about your kids at all times. Praying over them, praying for them. Putting them in good situations where they don't be in danger. And, you know, a father is supposed to be the one that's going to protect the family. He's a protector. Okay? I don't know if the women not letting them be the protector. I don't know if, whose fault is it that they're not protected or not, they're not there to protect their children or be there in the household with them, you know, because they need protected. So where is the breakdown? You know, so we need to know that. I mean, from one day to the next, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. Those people sent their kids to school. They didn't know they weren't going to come back. It could happen anywhere to anybody at any time. But this has really woken us up, just let us see a whole different look what can happen. You know, it got us all in shock and just like in disbelief, like this is like, wow, somebody would do something like this. Somebody is that evil and wicked that they would do something like this to take out 19 babies and two teachers. Yeah. We don't know how we're going to leave this world, but, you know, but if we're having disagreements and arguing and fighting and bickering and going on in front of our children or with ourselves or whatever, that's just a part of a waste of life, basically, you know, because something else is going on that we're not seeing right now. Okay, so we argue the next day, you know, your child not coming home, you know, or they go to school and they learn how to argue with the teacher. They learn how to argue with their classmates. So it's like we have to get a hold of this. We got to get a hold of this. Let us know. Let us know how we're going to bring the fathers back to the family. I mean, what I'm talking about is relevant in all, you know, in all aspects, and all, you know, as far as family and fathers and mothers and family as a whole. And I think when we're out of order and we're not doing the God's way, when we're out of order, and we're doing things we shouldn't do, we're treating people certain kind of ways that they should not be treated, then that's when all of the, you know, it's called foolishness. It's just foolishness. When we engage in foolishness, then, you know, other things happen because of our foolishness. Consequences of everything that we do, everything that we come out of our mouth, everything that we do or don't do for our children, you know, it's consequences to it. We don't know what they're going to be, but they are. So it's better for us to stay focused, always think about doing the right thing, saying the right thing, so that we don't have all these things coming against us. Okay? Press one if you want to have a word to say. I need this, the men to press one and the fathers to press one. And just give us some, you know, other men ideas of what they can do to make this thing work, you know, so that we can stay focused on the kids, you know. How do we bring back the fathers to family? My baby brother, William, that was your question. You said that's what my show should be about. How do we bring back the fathers to the family? Bring back the fathers to the family. Do you have any suggestions on how we do that? How do we do that? Press one so you could give us some idea and some conversation about that. Put you on. Okay. I said, oh, I could open your mic just in case you want to jump in and have something to input. How are we going to bring these fathers back to the family? Communication. So how are we going to do that? What are some of the problems? What are some of the issues? What are they? Anybody is welcome to, you know, speak out. But we're looking for the men to stand up and talk about this. And I think that like I said, I'm not a man. I don't know everything about a man. I know I've been married to men, and I know it's a difficult path. But you have to be, you know, able to be team members, teammates, and that's what anything. You have to be ready. You have to be able to be ready to be team. You know, be fair. Okay. So,
yeah, that's a really good question.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Okay, now we got you.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm a little slow here. Look, I didn't even have my thing plugged in my phone. I was like, why can't I hear something? I'm like, something is wrong, but I didn't know what it was. I am not hooked up. I had all these kids around me. They was just like all over the place, and they was making all this noise, and they had all, you know, a lot going on. I couldn't even stay focused. So, look, I forgot to hook myself up. I'm like, I'm not hearing anything.
Right. That's okay. Like when I, if I got this headset on, like I do now, and I have it on mute, I can't hear myself. It don't come back. And I search for everything and find out I haven't even turned the headset on.
Right. I got the headset on and everything, and I'm like, I got the mic here. Why is everything seem silent? So I hope you guys heard everything I said from the beginning.
Oh yeah, everything. It all came out. We could hear
okay.
You couldn't hear us.
right. Okay, so hey, Pastor, you want?
But
I didn't call for the men.
That's,
I put it
that's
out.
That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and of course, you know, you can get a whole lot of answers about why men are not where they're supposed to be. But being a preacher, of course, I'm going to be biblical and say that it's intentional. It's intentional that men are not there. And it goes all the way back to the first time. See, God set the alignment for life in the garden. He made Adam. Okay, there was no Eve. He just made Adam. And God and Adam talked. He gave him a job, a place to live, a law to obey. Okay? And then he allowed him to name all the animals and things he made. He gave him dominion over everything he made, told him to be fruitful, multiply, and increase the earth and subdue it. all that good stuff. But for him to fulfill that part out, he needed somebody to come alongside him to help him do that. So God made Eve from his rib. So now you have God's order. You have God. You have the man who's under God. You have the man who's been given a place to live by God. You got the man who's been given a job by God. And you have the man who lives under God's kingdom rule. And the rule is, don't eat from that tree. There's no woman.
Mm-hmm.
So after the rib is taken and Eve is created, she is, you find her with her hand in God's hands. So as a single woman, before she's married, she's under God. Her hand is in God's hands. And then God brings the woman to the man. And the two become one flesh. And for this cause shall a man leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. One single purpose, one single goal, and that is in their positions to glorify God. Now, let's jump to chapter 3. We went through chapter 1 and 2 that quick. Now we're in chapter 3. When Satan shows up in the garden, he does not go to the man because he has a problem. As long as the man, as long as the woman are serving in their respective positions, he can't do anything to them at all because their positions are God's position and God cannot be moved. And Satan won't even try it. So somehow, some way, he has to switch things up. He has to reverse God's order. And there's a reason he wants to do that. When Satan went to God about Job, he said, God says to Satan, have you noticed my servant Job? And, of course, Satan says, yeah, but you have a hedge around him. He wasn't talking about some bushes. He was talking about an angel he couldn't get past who God had placed there to guard over Job. When Satan convinced the Lord to move that angel out of the way and let him go, but God put restraints on him, even without an angel, he put restraints on him. You can only go this far, just like the ocean or anything else. You can only go this far. And Satan went and did what he did. Now back to the garden. Why does he go to the woman? Because he thinks she's weaker? Because he thinks she doesn't have as much knowledge of Adam? No, she knew everything he knew because he told her everything. God didn't tell Eve anything. Adam told Eve the name of the animals. Adam told Eve about the tree. Don't eat from it. She rehearsed it back to the devil. Already, when this conversation started, God's order has been reversed. The guardian angels that were there to guard God's order have gone. Why? Because there's no more order. This is not God, and they're not about to get kicked out of heaven like Satan them did. So there, you've inoculated them. You've put them out of the way, paralyzed them. Why? Because they're going to obey God. And this is no longer God. This has become something else where the woman is the head. And the man is sitting right there and has become the passive responder. That's why you see so many women in church today, okay, versus the men. Because they've chosen to be passive responders. Just like Adam, we often wonder, why did Adam say anything? Why didn't Adam do anything? Why don't men go to church today? Why don't men stand up and be men today? That's a big question. I had to learn it the hard way myself, so I'm not up on no high horse trying to knock somebody down or be over somebody. I learned this the hard way because I was not that man. I was not that man in the home. So I learned what I learned the hard way, but men don't have to learn it like that. So when Satan moves, when he upsets God's order, we start having whole families, ain't nobody even married. And it's amazing how a man and a woman, and I'm not trying to down nobody, but I'm trying to expose what the problem is, because if we don't know what the problem is, we're not going to know what the fix for the problem is. So the problem is God's order has been upset.
Mm-hmm.
God said a husband and wife should have kids, but we don't kind of do it that way. I had three kids before I got married once. And when I got married, it wasn't to glorify God. And when Satan came to attack it, there was no protection for it. And it just dissolved. It tore itself up. It self-imploded. Okay? But that was because I was out of order. Now, she was in order. She was trying to be in order. But she was having to deal with me, and I was not this person. So it just dissolved. Okay? So how do we get them back in? If men realize that God made them the head and not the tail, that they're supposed to be on top and not the bottom, if they realize and get in their position, things will change.
Right.
But things are so, the church is out of order. I'm not talking about Jesus. I'm talking about local organized congregations of baptized believers. We're out of, we're so, pastors are so afraid to speak on this subject that members might leave. You might lose all, if you lose the women in your church, the single mothers, because you made them feel bad about having children out of wedlock, oh, you'd have lost your whole church, because mostly women in church. And so how do we get them back in? There's only one way back. If my people who called by my name would turn from and seek mine, then I will, and there you go. It's just that simple. But this, we cannot, this is a difficult question because, see, everybody ain't Christian. And it's a whole lot of fathers who are not Christians. And you know, when you look, if the church is struggling this way and we are supposed to be the light on the hill to show the world how it's done, and out of 100% of marriages, 50% end in divorce, and 27% of those are Christians. 72%+ of homes, especially in the black community, are run by single parents, and that is becoming equal in the white community. They're having just as many kids out of wedlock as we are. The nuclear, or what we call a nuclear family, has been, we're through with that. Now whatever we call family is family. And that's how we, where we are. So the question is, how do we get them back? We have to come back. When the prodigal son realized what reality was in his father's house, he came to his senses and went back home. And that's what men need to do. But how do you get, here's the question, not how do you get them back. How do you get them to stand up even if they come back? How do you get them to stand up and want to be a husband instead of somebody who just sleep around with women and get them pregnant and then go Maury Povich talking about I didn't do it. She sleep with everybody. This is a huge problem. And there's only really one real way back, and that's to get back to God's way of doing family. That is not to say that every woman who's had a child but they're not married to the father, need to go out and find that father and get married. But try to bring that father into the child's life, especially with fathers like me, who is just absent without leave. You know, fathers like me, need, like I used to be back in the day, back in the 70s, before I went to Detroit House of Correction for trying to be a dumb beat dad. Okay, once you get some sense in your head, see, if I could tell fathers what they're going to face when they get to my age, but they were absent in their kids' life and y'all all still alive on the planet together, oh, Jesus, you don't want to live these days. It's going to take all the Lord Jesus Christ to help you want to stay alive because of the realities that's going to set in on you once your youthful silliness goes away. And you start looking at life in a real way. Then you're going to wish that you were in your kid's life, but you're going to suddenly discover they only have childhood once. And you missed it. You weren't there. Now you're going to have to work your way into a teenager's life, an adult's life. And it can happen. Pastor Jonathan Tate wrote a book about it, Close But Not Close. It can happen. Father lived right over a few streets, and here he is growing up without a father. But they've come back to God. Thanks to God, they've come back together. So it can happen. There can be recovery. But asking the question, how do we bring them back, leads to the cure. That's the cure. Realizing and recognizing the damage that has happened to society at large because the father is not in the home. And then you have a whole generation of people who have become comfortable with single-parent families, and that is somewhat the norm. It used to be a time when that was not the norm, and it was something you would kind of be ashamed of. They actually said they would go as far as to send kids down south somewhere to have children and then bring them back later as a cousin or something because of that. You know, they wanted to maintain that norm, but now the norm is, you know, you can any kind of family. Anything we want to call is family. Not to say, again, that whatever happened, happened. And whatever state that those people are in, that's family. How do we get the men back?
It seemed like a whole big movement need to happen. Just a real big man movement, you know, because like you said, they're comfortable with the way that it is. And, you know, everybody's just going along with it. I spoke with one of my classmates yesterday, and he was saying that that our generation dropped the ball, and we didn't teach you know, our children, the next generation, the way that we were taught. So I was like, yeah, I thought that a while back. I thought that too, you know. But I feel, and I told him, I said, yeah, that has happened. I said, but I know for a fact that we did teach our kids and gave them what they needed to make it. And so now they're teaching their kids what they need to, you know, giving them what they need to make it. But it has to keep going. So we might get away with one, two, three, you know, generations, just like in your own family, if you could just envision that. But that next one, we don't know when that's going to drop. But, yeah, somebody did drop the ball. And I used to think just what he said. I said, God, we dropped the ball. I said, because it's our kids that's doing all these wild and crazy things, you know. And so, yeah, so everybody is kind of feeling this, you know, and they're talking about it. And they want to know, you know, how we can, you know, get back. And if the churches are not willing to talk about it, and that's one of the places that have all our attention. Maybe if they start the movement.
They're scared. Go ahead, Pastor. You know, a good step was Sarah Tate McClendon, where she preached today, is generational, discipleship. Generational discipleship, and to a point, to a certain, where we dropped the ball, here's where we dropped the ball. We wanted our kids' lives to be better than the lives that we had. That's what we wanted.
Right.
I want to make my kids' life. And then we started saying stuff like, I'm not going to be a disciplinary like my parents were to me, to my kids.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to let them have their freedom. And we thought that was better. We didn't understand why our parents were doing the things that they were doing and why they were, you didn't get a choice to go to church, you went. You wasn't going to wake up and not feel it. You're going, okay? You had to be almost half dead before you did, you know what I mean? So what we left off big time was church. What we emphasized big time and should have was education. Okay, but what we didn't emphasize is Christian education. Those two is what brought our parents did not have education. Both my parents left school in the eighth grade because they had to go home and work on the farm, and help to raise food for the family, okay, because that's the way it was mm-hmm. for them. And then when they moved here to the north, they got better jobs, but, you know, nothing changed in our house. My mother was there, and my father was there. They were there, okay? So Christianity, even though I somehow became what I became, it was all there. It was all in front of me. It was all around me. You know, how to be a husband. What kind of wife to pick. Pick a wife like my mother. Be a husband like my father. Provide for your family. And my father was just drilling it in on us, especially when we got older. You know, I want to make sure you can take care of yourself. I want to make sure you can provide for your mother when I'm gone, all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But what we left off, what our generation left off, was church. We weren't going to make our kids go to church. We were going to let them decide. We weren't going to force it on them like it was forced on us. I'm going to let them decide. And they decided not to go. And it got so bad, I had somebody tell me that the child in their house, I said, where's the child? They were there, but the child wasn't. I said, where's the child? And they said that they weren't feeling it today. They was not going because they was tired. And we're not talking about a teenager. I say child. And I'm like, so that's the way it is in the house. They get to make choices like that. So so we kind of did drop the ball in a certain extent, and even today. I mean, Sunday school used to be packed out. Parents would at least bring their kids to church because some of the teachers would complain and say, these parents don't go to Sunday school, but they sure make sure their kids get dropped off. And as far as I was concerned, as long as they're there, good. But again, the children would come to me and say, why do I have to come when my mother or father go back home or just don't come at all?
Mm-hmm.
So we started making secular education everything. Everything. We said, if you want a nice house, Jesus can't get you that, but a good job will. If you want to be able to take care of family, Jesus can't bless you to do that, but a good job will. And so we would get real mad if they wasn't getting good grades in school, but we didn't care if they had a Christian education. And then when they got the good grades and they got all that stuff, but they didn't have no Christian education, and then they crapped out and went crazy, now we all confused because we raised them right. No, you need to get both of them working together. You know, like, I don't want to brag on none of our church members, but there's one in particular. I watched it happen in this family. The mother made sure that the daughter had a good secular education, and I believe she has a master's in teaching degree today, and she made sure she had a Christian education to go alongside of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the daughter had a daughter, and the daughter raised the daughter to have a strong a secular education and a strong Christian education.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with young people, at a certain time, they're going to leave church. They, you know, church going to become less and stuff going to become more, like the prodigal son.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much that they're prodigal, but that this seems to be a fact of life, okay? But they have something to come back to. They have something. When they, even if they're out there and not going to church, they have something. They know how to pray. They know how to ask God. They know how to tell their mom to tell the church to pray for them. They know that. But I think we dropped the ball on that, and all we left was, you know, and it's so sad. I wake up this morning, and E-Course is on the news, and the 27-year-old has been shot. And,
wow.
You know, Sunday morning, you know, you wake up to that, you know. And so this is where we are. We've broken, the devil has successfully broken down God's alignment. You go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and it talks all about alignment, God's alignment. And there's a verse in there that says from the King James Version, for the angel's sake. And I always wondered, what was that? What does that even mean? And that means those angels know God's original plan in the beginning, because they haven't aged a day since they saw God create all this. And they remember, just like it was yesterday, because they live in eternity where there is no days, that God, what God said, the man, the woman, the children. And now we have anything but that, and so they've been pretty much moved out of the way. And what you see going on in the culture is an absence of guardian angels. Every Christian has a guardian angel, right? But when we misbehave, don't you think that your guardian angel going to help you go 80 in a 70-mile-an-hour speed zone and enter into sin with you against God? This angel going to fall in love with you so much that you're breaking the law, they're going to help you rob a bank and protect you from getting shot or caught. That's not going to happen. You'll end up like me. You and your angel will be sitting in the Detroit House of Correction together. He'll still be there, but you'll be in the Detroit House of Correction, because God don't play that. And what we're looking at today is a rejection of God's alignment, God's order. And we've set up our own. The only problem with that is God won't protect it. So when men decide to be the man that God made them, and all they have to do is decide that, and God will bless them to be all the man he called them to be. All they have to do is decide, I'm going to be the man God called me to be, because that's what I did. And the Lord restored. I didn't even straighten out till I was 30, and then needed about 5 more good years after that. And the Lord did it, and he restored me, and I ran a business for 25 years and sold it and retired. The Lord did it. So I know all a man have to do is say, Lord, I want to be the man you made me to be, and you have no idea what comes with that. You think it's just going to be hard work and no fun, never? Please, the Lord will bless your socks off, because you want to advertise and display him. He will put money in your pocket, and he'll give you one shorty. You ain't got to buy drinks but for one shorty.
We have a caller, Pastor. I'll let him get in. And
this Sunday, I'm trying to preach.
Yes, it's good. Good stuff. You know, some fathers did it right, and some of them, you know, we saying all fathers, all men are not, you know, family men are doing. We have a lot of fathers that are doing it right, and that we could be proud of to call them fathers. So hats off to them. But we got to let them help us to get this next generation going in the right direction. Okay. You want to have a word to say? You, your mic is open.
What can we do?
Hello. You are on Bring Back the Family. Okay. Maybe they just pressed one by mistake. I think they're working, operating with the kids, so that's a good thing. All right. So anyone else want to have a word to say, something to say? Like I said, some of the fathers out there, you know, did it right. And, you know, we have fathers that, what was I going to say? I lost my thought. That want to do it right. And I hear them, a lot of them say that the mother interferes. You know, interferes with what they're trying to do for their sons or for their children. And I don't know what happens. Do they run away? They just say, forget it. Now, what are we doing that? And I believe that because I do know some mothers that are just hard, you know, hard on the man, and they're doing a lot. You know, they're taking care of the kids. They're doing the work. They're working and, you know, doing a lot of things. And or maybe if the father is not contributing the way that they think they should contribute, even, I mean, I just think, you know, and that's just my opinion, that if the father wants to be in the kid's life, let him do that. That's more than any money in the world that you can get, you know. That's that quality time that that kid is going to need. Or he's going to be with you the rest of your life on your heel, you know, maybe in trouble, causing you and costing you money that you don't want to cough up, you know, wasting money in other ways. So it's better to let that man, if he wants to be in that kid's life, then let him be in it. You know, with no strings attached. You still there, Pastor O?
Yeah, you know, funny you should bring that up.
I thought something happened. Okay.
Well, funny you should bring that up, though. Wednesday, we was doing the lunch giveaway for First Fruit Living Ministries. Mm-hmm. And two guys in particular, it was 15 young men who wanted prayer, but these two stood out, and they did exactly what you said. Both of them asked, when I asked them, what do you want me to pray about? They said that the mother of their children wouldn't let them be a father to their children.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we didn't have a whole lot of time to talk, but I understood what they were saying for whatever reason. Sometimes they don't want him to be a father because he don't give no money. Because he may not have any money, may not have a job, head ain't all the way together yet. Don't quite understand he need to financially contribute, but he does want to spend time with his children and be in the child's life. You know, the money issues can be worked out, you know, even though that's super duper important, but still having that father, let him get a chance to be in the child's life, because the child, I have a daughter now that I've seen twice in this life. And when I talk with her, I don't expect her to know me as her father. I've seen her when she was 10, when she was a baby, when she was 10 in a picture, and 23 for about 15 minutes, 5 minutes, okay? I love her with all my heart, but I don't expect her to see me as her father because I wasn't there. Okay, and it's not like the mother prevented me from being that. So if there's a father, ladies, if you're listening, who wants to be there, but he just don't have the money to help out, he can help out in so many other ways that my wife, you know, her father was there for her. But she didn't tell me about the money he gave her, even though he did. She would tell me about the time they spent together. And where they went and what they did. And so I'm like, wow. So a man can be in his daughter's son's life, even though he don't have a pocket full of money to shell out for everything that is really for real needed. But there are other things that he can provide that money can't buy. Money can only buy things. It cannot buy a relationship. And too many people have found that out the hard way. So I just thought when I heard that, that is a real issue, that a lot of fathers want to be there, but for some reason the mother is really angry with them and won't let them be there and speak to the child in a real negative way about the father. And the problem with that is, you know, John Mack had a show and it made a whole lot of sense. And one of the things I remember from his show is when a father has to pay child support for 18 years, they get into, okay, at the 18th year, it's over, it's done. You see, they're angry. And it's not like they're going to want to have a relationship with the child or the mother after 18 years. It's done, it's over. Is it? I'm still in my kids' life, and they're all in their 40s and 50s. So,
yeah.
And I'm still in their life, so it's not really over. So if there's a father or mother out there listening and the father wants to be involved, but you don't want him involved because you're feeling some kind of way about him, think long term. Think when the child grows up and actually talks to the father and finds out that he wanted to be there, but you wouldn't let him be. Let me tell you something. They're going to have a problem with you because they're going to feel like you robbed them of a relationship with a father or mother in whatever case they could have had, but you prevented it. And then they're going to feel some kind of way about you, especially if they feel like this missing parent somehow affected their life. They're going to blame you for that. So you have to
That's
be careful
correct.
With that, because time goes by and these kids grow up, and all that stuff you told them about their father, when they find out for themselves what their father is really like and you rob them of that, they're not going to be real happy. They're going to feel some kind of way about that. But I just heard when you said that, that's the first thing I thought about was those two guys. And, you know, they was almost in tears about it. And these are young men. And they looked to me, they looked like they were like 20s, early 30s. And they want to be there, but they won't let them for whatever reason we didn't get into. But they won't let them. But I'm sure everybody will say there's a good reason, but I don't think so.
Yeah, as you know, for me being a woman and the things that I hear and the things that I saw, you know, it's all about the money. And these women are selling their kids to be with their fathers, and that doesn't make sense to me. It's not right. And like you said, they're going to be very, very angry later. And a lot of young men, these teenagers, are having problems at home, and they're getting themselves in trouble on purpose. They're acting out because they want that relationship with their dad, and their mom's in the, no, you're not going. You can't see them. No. You know, giving them all this flack about seeing their dad. And so they're just acting out and making their life miserable, you know. And so you're right. When they get to be older, they're going to, you know, find out, and they're going to go and do their own investigation. And a lot of fathers, you know, they say, well, I just leave him alone, and I'm just going to wait, and when he gets to be a certain age, I will, he'll come for me then, and that'll be our time. So, but that's
right.
Sad that because look at all the time he's going to miss. Like you said, they're only going to be kids, one. They only had that childhood one time. And so look at all
that
they're missing.
And they're going to feel some kind of way about that because I deal with it, you know. You know, a lot of things that Pastor McClendon said in her sermon today is so real. But if you block the father or the mother, in whatever the case, from seeing the child, then none of those things can happen. None of it. And all that's left is resentment and bitterness. That's all that's left. And that's going to come up in the child. And like I say, they get really, 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 really angry. Children get super angry when they find out later on what the other person was really like and what they missed out on. They get really angry, and you're talking about feeling and acting some kind of way. They'll never want to speak to their own mother again because they feel like they were robbed because she was acting some kind of way about him. You know, whether you get married or not, you still both, and you know, any of that, my baby, his baby, God did that with the two of you. Neither one of you possess a sperm and an egg inside yourself. Both people, one, the lady got an egg, the man got a sperm. You did it together. Okay, do the rest of it together. So what? Okay, you didn't get married. You thought you liked each other. You thought you felt each other. You did the thing. You got the child. Now be the parents. Okay, would to God you would get married and go ahead and raise your children. But be the parents. If it's barring that, if you're not going to do that, be the parents. Why are you destroying your child's life? Because I'm telling you, they're going. If God bless them to grow up and bless that other person to still be here when they grow up, and somehow they meet, like I met my daughter when she was 23 out of Canada, and then she met me and found out what I was like. You know, that it wasn't a bad situation because her mother never trashed me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So she had a chance to discover me for herself. There wasn't a lot for her mother to know because of the length of time that we even knew each other. But let me tell you something. They carry that stuff. They carry that stuff, and it all came out. All of it came out, you know, and I'm telling you, when they grow up and find out that you trashed them and they not really like that, and they wanted to be there, but you didn't let them, get prepared for what you're about to face. Yeah. Put it like this. If you was a member of Runner for Christ, my phone would be ringing. You'll be needing counseling.
Right.
You'll be needing counseling after that because they get really, really angry. I ain't never seen nothing like it.
Wow. So, my head set up. So, like you said, sometimes it takes, because like you said, it sometimes it takes them a while to do what it is that they're supposed to do, and they go through all these things, you know, going to the House of Corrections and go through all these things that that don't get them ahead until they do what they're supposed to do. And look at all the time that's wasted.
Wasted.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. But and it's real. What's so simple, Kat, is if you just turn the other way, you're going in a whole new direction. Just that simple. But it seems so hard to make that turn.
Really? Wow.
And you make a simple turn. All it is, I know you hear, he going to kill me, but Jesus will fix it. You hear Sarah Tate talk about her father. I remember he's my cousin in life, right? Mm-hmm. But he's my best friend in life.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when we met. You know, when he's been my cousin, but it's like we met because we, you know, I was kind of crazy when growing up, so my day parents didn't want the overall boys to influence them the bad way, so we didn't hang out much. But once the church started, I got a chance to meet him, and I knew what he was like and what Maureen was like, the mother. I knew what they were like, and I was like, wow, they got kids. How is this going to work? But it was working. And then when Jesus, Maureen shows up first, and then she brings in Deacon Tate. And like I say, when he hit the church in 05, he'd been up number one since then. So, and all he did was take one turn, and his whole life changed. You wouldn't believe where he came from in maybe 17 years. I remember because, you know, he was in rough shape. And I told the Lord, oh, no, I don't want nothing to do with him. I know him because him was me before Jesus fixed me. And I'm like, oh, no. But he became number one in right from 05, March, May 27th or March 27th is when Jonathan went to pick him up from where he used to stay at night, and they let him out in the daytime. Now, and he came there, and he'd been there ever since, and in over 17 years, you would be amazed at what God did in his life over these years. When I met him, he didn't have a driver's license. Now he got a business, work a job, take care of his son, just got remarried. it's unbelievable. Everything changed, and it all started with one turn. And then God jumped in there and he just restored everything. Now you got three vehicles. Loan one is vehicles out so that these people who need to go to rehabilitation but can't afford to somebody to come pick them up and take them, well, he lets his sister Janice use the van to take them to get that done. So,
wow.
Yeah, that's what the Lord will do. And he did it in no time. 17 years, he did, he pushed them 30 years ahead in 17 years. Just, and all it took is one turn. So, man, if you're listening to me and you like even worse than I was, don't even worry about it. The same Jesus that fixed it for me and fixed it for the deacon I was just telling you about, he'll fix it for you. It don't matter about you. All he want you to do is turn to him. And ladies, if you got a man that's shiftless and lazy and ain't doing nothing, talk to Jesus about him. Want him to be, even if he never become your husband, want him to be a father to his child. Ask Jesus to make him the father that Jesus knew he could be, knows he can be. And that means Jesus going to get him a job, get his mind right, get him some money, give you some money. He ain't going to even care if you got a boyfriend. He'll still take care of his child. But you got to pray about that. You got to ask Jesus for that, and he'll give you that. My wife prayed for me, and I know what she prayed because I heard it. I was holding hands with her when she prayed it, and I'm that man. So it all starts with one turn.
Wow.
Take the right turn, because one night I had to take a turn myself. Took that turn, and boom, Jesus did it.
Like you said, that for the kids is their life. And the pastor, I don't know if you on, I can't see my screen, and I probably have someone that wants to get in. I can't see my screen for some reason. And you know, it's their life. And it's like, I don't know, we even have a right to even keep them from that, like that, you know, from their fathers and things like that, because it's their life. And kids should have a good book to read about themselves and read about their life, you know, when they get ready to look back, when they get older, you know, like we are now, and we could look back and see our life and see what happened, and see how our parents took care of us and what they did and what they contributed to our lives to get us where we are, you know, today. So kids have a right to be able to have a good book to read about themselves, you know, when they grow up. So, but if we take it upon our,
You got a caller, 2645.
Okay. Yep. Okay, great. Yep.
I'm
opening
their line.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, so if you got a son, a daughter that, you know, you're keeping them from their parent, you don't really have a right to do that. Think about their life and what they need to have for when they, for what they need. It's really not about us. It's about those kids and what they need. Just because you might not have had your parent, the kids need theirs. They might need theirs. And so, okay, go ahead. Caller, who we have, 2645? You're
How
on
you
Bring Back the Family.
This is OC.
Hello.
This is OC.
OC. Okay, hey, OC,
yeah,
how you doing? Thanks for calling in.
You're welcome.
How
you doing today?
Just wonderful. You know, we're talking about fathers and how we're going to bring them back to the family. And I did have a conversation with you earlier today, and you had a lot of good things to say. So share some of the things that we talked about as far as your sons that you raised.
Pretty much raised my sons by myself because I grew up in a home with just my mother. My father used to be in and out, in and out, in and out. And I made up in my mind to never do that to raise my kids to the best of my ability. I've been in my neighborhood. I always get a lot of compliments for being an example for raising my son. But I tell people all the time, this is something that I'm supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I appreciate the accolades and everything, but this is something that I was supposed to do. Because my thing is this, why would you not want to take care of you? And what I mean by that, the child comes from the man first. He plants the seed to the woman. So why would you not want to take care of you? That's you. Why would you turn your back on you? So I raised all my children to the best of my ability, and that's why they still come around. You know, I was telling another guy, he's like telling me, I'm going to whoop your butt. I said, man, that's not the way to handle that. I'm not trying to tell you to raise a child. So I said, right now, the way you hollering at him and all that, you're being a bully to your son.
Mm.
Because he's little. He's not your height. He's not your size or anything. So you don't want your kids to be scared of you, but you want them to know that you're not playing. When you tell them to do something, you expect for them to do it. Because when you just whooping your child for every little thing, every little thing, every little thing, they're not going to come around. When I got older, I didn't care about being around my father, because I never was really around him in the first place. Didn't care about that. My mother, when I lost my mother, that hurt me the most. Because me and her was always together all the time. Did she punish me? Yes, she punished me. She didn't whoop me for every little thing that I did, though. She would talk to me. Now, if I kept on getting out of pocket, then I may got a couple licks, or maybe like she took something from me that she know that I really like, took it away. Or she'd be like, okay, go in the room, because I had my own room, I had my own TV, I had my own everything. I couldn't cut on nothing. If something did come on, then there's consequences to pay. So a lot of this, like sometimes with women, like I go through it. I have been through it a little bit, and I have showed them, you know, I'm not going to play that game with you about my truth. But sometimes women try to use the kid to get back at the man, to try to hurt the man, and mm-hmm. really just hurting the child. They call themselves like not letting the father see the child and all of that. You're really hurting the child. You're not hurting the man. You're not hurting the man at all. It's the child that's actually suffering. I can remember times my mama never did that to him, but he would lie and say, I'm coming to get you. I'm standing, I'm all in the window, I'm in the door, I'm everywhere. Just waiting on this man to come and pick me up. And he would do a no show, no car, I call. Hey, daddy, on your way? Yeah, I'm coming, son, I'm coming. Didn't come. So it's like, as he got older, he did come around a little bit. Hey, you coming over? Nah, I ain't had time, because he didn't plant that seed. All these things are seeds that have to be planted into the child, as in like, okay, if you're a person that celebrate a lot of these pagan holidays, if you're a person that celebrate these days, right? Now, if you don't teach the kid to go buy the other parent something when, you know, this day come or whatever, he's not going to do it or she's not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody has not trained to do it. So you're looking at, it's Mother's Day. Why you ain't giving nothing for Mother's Day? Because you didn't plant the seed when he was young to train him to do it. As when Father's Day came, you didn't take him and say, come on, or the young lady Let's go get your dad something. Cause they ain't got no money, so they don't know. They don't know. So when you get, like, when a lot of parents get bad gifts and the kids get a little bit older, and they go, why you buy me this? Because you taught them that. You was buying cheap gifts when they was younger. And you're only going to get what you put into them. But you're like, dang, your kid spent $300, your kid spent $500, your kid spent $1,000. Yeah, because I did them the same way. And I took them with me. And when tax time came, I gave them $1,000. I gave them $1,500 a piece and let them do what they wanted to do with the money. I would coach them a little bit like, hey, well, don't you think you need to get you some shoes? Don't you think you need to get another coat? Well, I know you got a coat, but what if that coat get ripped? Or what if you want to have another occasion and that coat may not fit the occasion? You may need a trench coat or your dress clothes or something. So that's how I worked with my kids when they was younger. Now I do have two new children that's babies. I did start all the way back over. I started over. And I was just talking to the mother earlier because she was saying something to me, and I said, well, you think that I'm not good enough to raise my son? Just because she was trying to say something to me because I was talking to the baby because she spoiled him. He's her first child, he's spoiled. So I told you don't want him at 2 years old in the store falling out because he can't have what he wants. You have to nip that in the bud now while he's at home before he get around people and act up and clown on you. He's going to be looking crazy. I said, so if you have a problem with you telling them what to do, you got to correct yourself. Because as long as I'm raising him here in his household, I'm going to tell him. Even if he's not in the household and I come get him and he's out the pocket, I'm going to tell him. Because if I don't tell him, then you got some other folks out there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these things that be going on is because a lot of us men are not in the household. So sometimes our boys, our girls, they get this tedious and they start doing things. And then we don't hear about it until it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
We don't hear about it until it's too late. I worked in the Ecorse School District in the kitchen. And I used to go out my way. I knew I wasn't a teacher, but I had got a whiff of E-course academic grade. The grade scores was down. So I felt like, well, this is a learning institution. Anybody that has some knowledge to help, you should help. So all I did was teach some kids some timetables because they didn't know their timetables. So, when you get to the third grade, you should know your timetables. When you get in the fourth grade, you should know your timetables, your division, and your fractions. By high school, you should be doing, but no, before high school, you should be doing algebra before you get to the ninth grade. So I worked with some of the kids and, through the years, and as some kids run into me, they say, thank you, Mr. C. Thank you for teaching me my timetable. You was right. You told me I was going to need it, and I needed it. You was right. Thank you. And that's a great appreciation to me, to be able to help somebody else's child at the same time as helping my kids. My son is on the honor roll. I believe that is all public information. They can check it if they like. I worked with them. I stayed in the house with them. I went out here ripping and running the streets. The only time I was in the street, and I was out making some money to bring home to take care of them. And what I did, yeah, they played the video game, but it was a consequence with the video game. You had to study to be able to play the game. So if they had spelling words, you had to write the spelling words 5, 10, you had to write them 5 to 10 times, sometimes 20 times. All right.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, then they had to put them in alphabetical order. They had to give you the definition. This was a daily thing. But then I know Friday, when it's time for that test, you know him. My one son, Omar, they said he wasn't going to be able to contain information. And I think that that was a lie. So what I did do, I put him on the game. I put him on the game because I said, okay, if you can play this game, you can learn.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't want to do. You just want to do what you want to do. So that's how I got Omar to turn around. He's like, oh, you're doing so good. Oh, you're doing so. Oh, this. So it's all him. It's all him.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are coming to the world already smart. If the parents are smart, right, think about it. If the seed, right, the seed, the man, if that man is smart and he's intelligent and he plants the seed to that woman and that woman is smart, intelligent, you have an intelligent child. Because sometimes people want to do what they want to do, and you have to find out the niche, how to get to this child's mind to get him to learn what you need him to learn and what you need him to do.
I like what you said about everything is so good. I like what you said about correcting your child, you know, and, you know, right there in front of the mom and the mom not interfering.
Yeah,
and that's good because when the kids see, you know, the mom and the dad going against what, you know, the discipline part, then that, you know, makes them play games between the parents.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. Uh-huh. And that's letting you be who you, letting you be the man that you are.
Yeah, you tell him no, and he's going to the mama. Well, mama,
mm-hmm.
can I get a popsicle?
Mm-hmm.
Can I have some cookies? You already done told him. You can't have no cookies. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, kids will play
and
those
then
games.
Yeah, and then it's important to be in tune with your children. So, like, you know, sometimes the schools don't challenge the kids when they feel like they have, you know, a learning disorder or a problem, whatever like that. And so when the parents are in tune with their kids and they know what to do to motivate them to learn and get them to do what they're supposed to do, then that's just being in tune with your kid, you know, because we're supposed to help them. We can't leave it all up to the school system and teachers to help them. We're supposed to help them. Mm-hmm. So that
even though I'm not going to say no names because I would never want to bring no harm to her losing her job or anything. I had one teacher, she came back and apologized to me because she was like, I'm not about to waste my time. And this IEP says that he's incompetent. He's not gonna remember. So I was like, you know, I said, in this situation right here, you are a teacher. So your job, this is a challenge for you.
Right.
And I can give props to two teachers. I love them teachers. And we worked hard together diligently with Omar. That was Miss Lucy and that was Miss I know her name on the tip of my tongue. Oh, man. No. Let me see. Oh, I don't want to leave her out because she did an excellent job. I know her name. Let me get it out. I know her name. Oh, I know her name.
You might have to go through the alphabet.
I know her name. What's that? I'm about to say it, so I took my time. Hold up. I know what I do. One second.
Well, you hate that when it's at the tip of your tongue. Do we have any more callers, Pastor O?
Hold on one second.
There's a 5938, but I think you opened them before.
Yeah.
You want me to check and see if they had something to say?
You could check and see. But I don't know, because that's Baby Will. He the one who said the show should be called Bring Back the Fathers. So
okay.
He was,
Baby Will?
Yeah.
Is that Baby Will?
Baby Will, you on the line? Will Cly? No.
Hello?
Hello?
Baby
hey.
Will?
Will Cly, you want to say something?
Hello?
Hello? Okay, 2645 has
He
dropped.
Not ready. Oh, did he? Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, he must have made
5938, you on with Kathy?
Will Clyde, are you on? If you want to have something to say, if not, then we'll move on. He's probably coaching kids right now. He's pretty busy.
Right.
So, yeah.
He probably
so
on mute.
Hello.
Yeah.
But the other caller's back.
Okay, good deal. Hey, OC, go ahead.
It's Ms. Newsom, Ms. Patterson, and at the high school, Ms. Oh, God.
Ms. Lucy and Ms. Patterson.
No, it's Ms. Newsom at the middle school.
Uh-huh. You said Lucy?
Uh-uh. Ms. Newsom.
Newsom?
Yeah, Ms. Newsom.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Duvall. These are the people that helped him. And Ms. God, I know her name. Maurice. What's the one teacher that had Omar? The one teacher at the high school that was working with Omar? Yeah. What's her name? The teacher at the high school, huh? Yeah. The other lady. I said the high school. Yeah. She was in the back.
He wants that teacher's name, so that's cool. We could shout out these teachers, and that's good because we do have
some teachers don't do nothing. They just go and they get the paycheck. But these five people that I named, they work with me hand in hand with my son. I didn't just work at the school. I went and checked on my children. It wasn't just I would go to their class. They weren't
and the teachers love to see the men coming. They do. They love to see the men come and check on their kids. They do.
Yeah, they wasn't always perfect. They did things.
Yeah.
They did things. And I would come up there and check on them. And Sometimes Omar would get out the pocket. I would have to go up to the school. Now, I remember he got a scholarship. I was kind of, first I thought he had did something wrong. They called me up to the school because I wasn't working that day. And I said, well, what'd he do? And he's telling me, have a seat. I have a seat. No, I said, have a seat for what? Wait, what did he do? And so, He has a scholarship for Ferris State. And when they told me the amount, I couldn't believe it. Because the one that I thought wasn't gonna achieve, he excelled. He had a scholarship to go to school to be a game designer. And at Ferris State. He had wrote his own as everything, and I was just blue dot. I can't do nothing but cry.
I'm just naturally talented.
I can't do nothing but cry. I can't believe it. I was crying of joy and happiness because a person, I just think about if I gave up on my son because of a person said, oh, his IEP says that he's incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
Think if I would have just gave up on my child and not putting a book in his face, not taking a flashcard, not taking I started all the way from the ABCs and the numbers and everything, and just going with the flashcards and then going with the words. And I even did this. I did this. Some parents may think this was wrong. I had put a camera in my son's room, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a monitor in my room. And I showed him, like, okay, because I always had them to go in there to study. And I said, you know, they was little kids, like in elementary. And I was like, I can see you. If you don't study, come in my room. Let me show you something. So they never knew, like, if daddy watching us or not. So they would always study and do what they had to do. Then eat them, let them go outside and play, take a bath. We may look at a little TV show for a minute. Boom, they get in the bed. They eat their snack, they go to bed. And I get them to take them to school. I took them to school every morning. And then when they got a little bit older, when they got in high school, I didn't let them just walk, like, right off. I waited till probably about the 10th grade, 10th, 11th grade, then I started letting them walk. Sometimes I'll pick them up. But they didn't want to be picked up, and then they just wanted to walk on with their friends. I just didn't want them to get caught up in no mess because it'd be so much going on, you know, coming home, all kind of stuff. I don't want to ever have to bury any of my children. I don't want to go through that. I seen my aunt go through that. I seen how hurtful that was to her. I mean, I don't, you know, we don't know the day, the time, or the hour.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like that. We can try to prevent, you know, as much as we can, but whatever is supposed to happen is going to happen. But I don't want it to be done on my watch or something that I could have did to try to prevent something.
Wow.
That's all. So always went and got them, took them to football practice, picked them up, even stayed at football practice and watched.
Right.
That was an enjoyment. That.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, even though I took pictures and all that, but, some, you know, those memories, we got memories. Like, me and my boys and my daughters, we all got memories of each other.
Hey, Dad,
remember that time we went fishing? Hey, Dad, remember that time? You taught me how to do this, that.
Wow.
All memories.
Right.
Those are all memories, not just for the parent, but for the child, too.
Mm-hmm. It's healthy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what a lot of fathers miss out on. They miss out because they ain't there. So they it's like they can do something in a glimpse, and if you ain't paying attention, you missed it.
Wow, that's true.
I come home, I go work, do what I got to do, and I come home to my little kids because I don't want to miss it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to miss. You can't get the moment back. Once the moment gone, it's
right.
That's it. Even when you go to a football game with them, they playing football or baseball. Maurice played football and baseball, and he ran track.
Mm-hmm.
My son got a bunch of medals for all those things, and I didn't want to miss. I lost a good job. I used to work at Great Lake Steel. And my sons had to play football at E-Course. I didn't want to miss. I didn't want to miss. So I left work. It was wrong. I left work. All my work was done. I forgot to go back and punch out. I didn't lie to the people. You know, I didn't lie to them, you know. And so that $28 an hour job was flushed down the toilet because I wanted a memory and I wanted my sons to have a memory. I said, I can always get another job. And I was both jobs.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was working at the school, and I was working at Great Lakes Field. So I would pick them up, take them home, and then I would go to the plant. I would work at the plant. I wasn't even on full time at the plant. I was part time. I get home about, that's when I moved over towards this way. And that's what it was.
Yeah, we talked about that, the memories and the things that you will miss if you're not in your child's life, that you just miss out. Like you said, and they need to have a book, a story or a life that they could look back on and say, like you said, bring up the old memories and leaving your job. That was a sacrifice. And that's what we do. Yep. We sacrifice for our kids and do what we have to do so that they can have what they need. And it's a total sacrifice. That's what it is, a total sacrifice. So, hey, God gave you something better, I'm sure. And so that's good. Good. So, you have told us what, it really takes to be a good father and how we can, one way we can bring the fathers back to the family. Just the motivation and the story that you just told should make every father want to step it up and not miss a moment. Mm-hmm. And then, other men see you out in the community. They see you. They see what you do, what you've done. I'm sure it was men that watched and said, oh, he right there with his son, and that's how people learn. That's how kids learn. And I'm sure your sons would be good fathers for their children. So that's how that thing starts and how it keeps going. So
my son Omar. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he made me a grandfather. He's closing on his house in Westland.
Wow, already. That's great.
He's engaged to be married. The advice I gave him, I said, son, I said, you're going to have some ups and downs. It's not always going to be your way. I said, but all I ask you to do, I said, we always want the relationship to work. I said, but if the relationship don't work, don't walk out on your child. I said, because I didn't trust you. I was here for you, so you be here for her. Even if you and her don't work out. I said, do you think that I didn't want to be with your mother? I said, I loved your mother. Your mother was my wife. I loved your mother with all my heart, but it just didn't work. So we both had to go our own separate ways. She, did what she did, dropped them off, and I raised them. I raised her. I thought she was playing. She said, I said, Shep, when you come get these boys? These boys been here for a week. She said, I'm not. You're not. What do you mean you're not? I'm not coming to get them. I said, okay. I thought she was still playing. I thought she was playing. She was serious. A little more time. She said, you got him in school? I said, what? You got Omar in school. She said, no, you coming to get him. I told you, I'm not. She said, you need to get their birth certificate. You need to get the Social Security card. I said, you already got it. You need to give it to me. No, you need to go get it. You know, that woman helped me become a man because I wasn't a man. I thought I was a man, but I wasn't. Yeah, I knew how to pay bills and things of that nature, but there's a part of me that was missing. So by her doing what she did, she helped me become a better man than what I already was. Because
and that's good.
She didn't hand it to me. She made me go get it. I had to go through everything to make everything right. Like, I knew nothing about I knew about getting insurance from the job, but I was put in a position that I had to go to the welfare system. I needed help because I didn't know what to do at first. So So I thank God for taking me through that and helping me with that and bringing me to where I'm at. My boys are out of school. They're grown. They're doing good. Everybody working. You know, they still ask for stuff sometimes, but they got their own money. They got their own lives. They're living.
And that's what we live for. That's what we live for and what we be parents for, so that they can move on, have their own, and don't be a burden, you know, on their parents or anybody else, you know. And that's why you sacrifice and do what you have to do to give them what they need so that they can make it and to be on their own and not have to come back, not have to be a burden, not have to go in the community and be a burden.
Yeah.
You know, you send them out there right. Right going to come. And then that's great that you talked to him about his mom and about being a husband and having a wife and your children, because your son listened to you. And they will listen to you. If you've been in their life all the time and you've been giving them, you know, the right directions, then they do listen. So that was great. Well, you just told them, go ahead, I'm sorry.
my daughter, Patrice, there's her birthday. She turned 30 today. But she called me probably about 3 or 4 months ago telling me thank you, because, you know, her first car, me and her mama bought it. She bought all our other, she bought a truck, a car, she bought all her own stuff, you know, through life and working. She's a hard worker. She just bought a new SUV, and she told me thank you for teaching her and instilling that in her that she don't wait on no man or all that. Like, I've seen it. My daughter don't play. I thank God for her paying attention to me at the same time, listening to her mother, and all, because she do not play. She do not hold it up. God don't got a job, or he's lacking, and he's working, and he's good. You got to go. She don't let no man live in her house unless you're like, we're not married or any of that. You can't stay in my house. You walk and come visit sometime, but you got to go.
That's good. That's good. When girls, when they respect their dads like that, and they respect what they think and how they feel, then they do things that way. They do. Well, thank you, OC. That was a good story. I'm sure everybody enjoyed that. And just to know that it is men out there that are doing the right thing and that are being fathers to their sons and to their children, you know, because they don't want no backlash. They don't want, they want things to go smooth, and your life can go smooth. And you can rest easy when you know that your kids are on the right track and doing the right things. Yeah. So we thank you. We're going to have you on again, because you have a lot to talk about, and we want to have you on again, OC, one day. And, you know, and we could, you know, just let everybody know, you know, some of the things that you do, you know, and you find out where all these gifts come from that your children do have. And we know they come from God, but, you know, they you know, the things that you do and show them how to do, then they're doing it too. So, and they're just kind of naturally talented with those things. So one day we're going to have you on to talk about all those things that you do and that they do as well. Because, you know, we only got just a few more minutes, and, that was a good story. And I hope, you know, I wish we'd had more men to come on and just talk and express themselves as, you know, as far as what they're doing for their sons, because it is a lot of men out there doing great things with their kids. And you guys are the ones that they're watching and that is going to catch on, you know, catch on. And they'll, you know, end up doing it. Pastor O, is anyone else online? I know the last few minutes I wanted to just allow the callers, if they wanted to express themselves and say a prayer for families in Texas and those families. I think it was in New York at the grocery store, here in Michigan, all those families that, you know, had to go through those tragedies. So this last 5 or 10 minutes, if you want to offer a prayer, this was Terrence Tate's idea. He said he wanted to pray for the families and he wanted to allow others to pray for the families, because everybody is feeling this. And if anybody wants to offer a prayer in these last few moments, you can. So you could press 1. And Pastor will open up your mic because I can't see my screen. And we will do that in these last few minutes, okay? So, Pastor.
Okay, yeah, I see some people, but they have not pressed 1. And I guess it's hard enough to, you know, it's a little bit scary.
So press 1 if you want to have a word to say, if you want to say a prayer for the families that lost these children and these family members. You know, it's just, you know, something that, because Terrence Tate said, he said, we don't pray enough. We just don't pray enough. And that's probably true, that we don't pray enough and we need to pray more. So let's do that and offer some prayers for the family. So just press 1, and then we will open your mic. Terrence, if you're online, you can press 1. You can go first.
No, I don't, unless he's under another number. I don't see him, and that's strange.
Yeah, I thought I saw him earlier.
Okay, we have I think the number is 59. Well, that's the same number.
Yeah.
Let me see if we got somebody there yet. Last 4 digits, 5938. You on with Kathy? Did you want to have something to say?
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. I just had a few things to say. You know, I enjoyed the topic today because I've experienced some of the things that y'all talked about earlier, and it was a fight, you know, but I was up for it, you know, and sometimes everybody's not up for that fight. And I think I was basically talking about the conversation earlier, like, you know, I had a father in my life, so I think that helped me fight. More than maybe the guy that didn't have a father in his life. So I guess it's kind of a cycle, you know. If you had your father in life, maybe you feel more strongly about being in your child's life, so you're going to be out there fighting more. And just opposite, if you didn't have a father, hey, what are you concerned about? You don't know the first thing about a father being in your life, so why would you even maybe come or care if that kid, if he was in your kid's life, because, hey, you don't have a clue even how to get to first base with that situation. So I guess it's, you know, according to what you've been around. Some fathers, like the one guy who didn't have a father, he went in the total opposite direction and made sure he tried something to be in his kid's life. So my hat goes off to him. My job was easy because, hey, I had a great father. And another thing, like, I had a great father, and I had a great high school basketball coach that taught me how to work hard and push myself when I didn't think I could go any further. And having two great men in my life and some brothers that were older than me to kind of follow, and I still need a lot of prayer. And so when I think about guys that didn't have those two things, I don't know how they even making it out here. On another note, about as far as that the shooting in Texas, I'm a truck driver, so I deliver to a lot of schools in the Wall Lake, Commerce area. And when I'm there, man, if I didn't know no better, it's 99% female teachers there. So back when I was in school, I had teachers in there I wouldn't even fool with, you know. I mean, just that male presence in the school kept me in line. So nowadays, when a guy decides to go to a school, it's nothing but women in those classrooms, you know. There's a reason. There's women, just women. It's like women in a household, you know. You're going to go in a household where a woman is before you go in there where you think it's a bunch of men in there. You're just not going to go in there. So I think they're more comfortable going to these schools and doing what they're doing because there's not the women and children in these establishments. So we got to change something somewhere, somehow, and we got to do it quick because, as you can see, I mean, we're heading down the slippery slope, and I don't even see no turnaround anytime soon, and that's what's sad about it. You know, we're losing kids. I mean, you know, I train kids third, fourth, fifth grade. I can't even imagine them being shot like that. It's unthinkable. I have to basically just act like it didn't even happen because I'm looking at my kids as I'm training. I'm like, man, I can't see these kids being trapped in a room and just shot at. It's unthinkable. You know, I don't even know where to start. You know, I got both hands up because I don't know what to do as an individual. I'm always thinking about what I can do to try and change things. But it's a lot bigger than one person concerned. Mm-hmm. And I got out of hand, and it's scary. So that's my comment for today.
Wow, Weez, that was a lot. And that is something, 99% women in the classroom. And men are our protectors. And I like what you said about that. So if a man, and that's coming from a man. I wouldn't even thought about that. That's coming from a man saying that because men are our protectors. And a man, most of the time, men are not going to confront a man. You know, man understand man. So that's deep. That's really deep. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. So I like that. Yeah. That man will be more apt to go into a man's classroom and do such a thing. That's what he's saying. I'm like, wow. Okay. Thank you, Weez. That's my baby brother, and he trained kids, boys and girls, just like he said, and he has done a great job with that and has one son. He has three sons, one in the Navy, and two that's playing professional basketball that he trained himself. And so that took time and sacrifice. And so, you know, we're proud of that. So thank you, Weez, for that, for those words of encouragement. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? I want you to come on one day, Weez, and talk about your, you know, how you did what you did with your boys. In your, you know, how you're doing the training now. Because some people need, you know, they might want their young fellas or girls to be trained. Because it's not just, I mean, we go to school, we get our education, and sports is one way that you can, you know, get your education. He's still working, Pastor. Mute him. One way to get your education. And they are able to stay in shape. That's a good thing. They can stay in shape. There's a lot of good things about playing sports. You can stay in shape mentally. It's good for you mentally, and it keeps you focused. Yeah.
Okay,
I think his sons are black belt karate, black belts in karate, and those things, those karate classes, they keep you focused. They make you think totally different about fighting. But, yes, yeah, so thank you for those comments, Will Weez. I call him Weez. His name is William. And I like what you said. Okay. Well, thank you. Pastor, you could mute him because he's working. Okay. So anybody else?
That's it.
You have anybody else? That's it? Okay. That's a wrap. that was great. I enjoyed that. So, like I said, we do have men out here that are doing the right things and that are helping, and that are helping. Oh, okay, 42. Let me see. Do you have a 4206 Pastor O on there?
Yes.
Okay, they want to have a word to say. They just text me. She could be our last person.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. How are you doing?
Good. How's everybody doing?
Just wonderful. Glad you got in. I just saw that text.
Yeah. I said, hold on one second. but I'm going to say something real quick before Tony says something also. Unfortunately, you know, my father wasn't in my life, but I had uncles and my brother that played a huge part. So when I had a daughter, I wanted to make sure that their relationship was solid because I knew how important it was to have a father in your life. If a father plays a huge role, I've seen, you know, women the way they are, you know, in their life because they miss out on that. So it plays a huge role, and I commend all the fathers out there. You know, my brother, he took care of my niece as a single father. So there are fathers out there that are doing their thing and supporting their kids, and, you know, I give them all the kudos and high fives and praise.
Cool. Great. Yeah.
I'm gonna let a father that has been an ultimate, awesome superhero dad to his kids, his three kids. I'm gonna let him speak.
All right, bring it on.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hey. Hello. Thank you. Hi, I was. I just wanted to say a few things real quick. First of all, thank you and Pastor O for putting together another amazing show and showing the importance and putting such an emphasis on the importance of fatherhood and how it pertains to kids, not only, you know, biological kids, but also non-biological kids and, you know, even nephews, nieces, or just the whole family dynamic. I think it's so important, and I thank both of y'all for taking the time to do this because it's needed, and we have to get the word out to emphasize how important Black fathers are. So I just want to say thank you to both of you for that, and to all the fathers. Thank you for your hard work and dedication that you've done. And I was talking to a young man recently who was telling me he couldn't wait to be a father, and he was looking forward to the birth of his firstborn and spoiling his nieces and nephews. And I told him that was great, but I also told him, I said, look, understand that's a wonderful thing, but just know that being a father is a lot of hard work. It's a lot of work. It's not just like, you know, you see on television where everything always works out the way that you want it to work out. It's a lot of hard work and takes a lot of dedication to just be an important figure in a child's life, whether they're your biological kids or not. It's a lot of hard work. So I just wanted to say that and thank you all, Pastor O and Auntie Kat, for the opportunity to talk today and for putting on an outstanding show.
All right. Thank you. Amen. Thank you for participating. And That's the Sergeant Cox, and they got those three kids in Michigan State. One of them just graduated, Shania, and we are just so proud of her and proud of what you and Googie, your wife, has done to give your kids what they need to make it, and that's what Bring Back the Family is about. Go, Pastor O.
Amen. That's it. I'm happy about that. So did you want to pray about the...
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, pray us out, and then we'll just have a song and go on about our merry way. Thank everybody for participating, and we will see you next week. We're going to do another episode on Father's Day, and we'll just continue to talk about the fathers as much as we can till we bring them back, okay? All right, Pastor, I'll close us out with that good old prayer and just give us a good old song to go home on. Thanks, everyone.
Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today, and we praise your holy name. Father, we thank you for the creation story because it shows us right from the beginning how you intended for this to work. You made a man, and there was yet no woman made nowhere. It was just a man. And then, Father, he found himself under you, under your kingdom rule. Don't eat from that tree. And everything was just fine. And then, Father, the man was not just fine because he needed somebody to come alongside him and help him. And so you made a woman to come alongside and be that helpmeet for him. And then they had children, Father, and they began to teach their children the same way you taught them. And that is what you expect us to do. You have asked us to sacrifice a part of our life to give to them so that they in turn will do the same thing. We heard in a sermon today that we are to generationally disciple those coming behind us, to give them the tools that you've heard Kathy say that these parents have given to their children to make it. That is our whole purpose. And when we achieve that, then, Father, we've done most of all that you want us to do outside of witnessing, outside of teaching people about you and helping people in or outside the body of Christ. You said to raise our children to reverence you and to live according to your word. And we've done that. You taught us that we should fix it where our children are able to do the things they need to do so that they can be productive citizens in society and a bright and light, a shining light for you and salt in the earth. And we've done that because you've allowed us to. But, Father, there are so many who have gotten into misaligned relationships, and there are so many families that are not according to that model you created in Genesis. But we still believe that you can make it work because when Joseph's father died, when Joseph died and left Mary with her four sons and her five sons and their sisters, she was still able to raise those children up to become who they became in life. And so we know it's possible no matter what happens. All we have to do is what you said. When my people who are called by my name turn from and turn toward me, I'll hear, I'll answer, and make it right. And so, Father, we're praying for fathers to take that turn, that same turn that you caused so many of us to take. And then you blessed us to be able to do every successful thing that was done. And we know that all it takes is that one turn, and then you do all the rest. So we're praying for fathers to want to be fathers. We're praying for mothers to allow the fathers to be fathers, no matter what that situation is, because it's all about that child. These children, you've asked us to raise them for you. You've trusted us to do that. Bless us to do it. And touch the hearts of those who haven't a mind to do it yet. Give them a mind to do it. In Jesus' name, we thank you for Kathy and this show, Bring Back the Family. We thank you for all of the callers, for the fathers who were in their children's lives and were willing to talk about that to others who might be struggling about which way to go and how do I do it. Well, here's a living example for you. So we thank you for them, too. And for everybody who are listening today and go and listen in the future and get blessed by it and get better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Earl.
Thank you. And thank all the guests. They're great.
Yes. Yes, they were. Everybody was great today. Thank you so much. We went a little bit over, but I think it was worth it. It's just, it's so good. I appreciate everybody for tuning in and just, you know, giving your input. Share what Bring Back the Family is doing. When I send you the information, send it out to your friends. Everybody can send it to 5 people. Just look how many people we sent it to and that will possibly listen, and they can be able to get some of this information and be able to make their life right for their children and for the youth of this world. Because if we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. And you know that is just so deep, because you know, and I was explaining it to one of the kids today, you know, if you don't have what you need, if you don't have your education, if you don't have all the things you need to make it, you're going to be cold, you're going to be hungry. If you don't get your education, you don't, you know, acknowledge God, if you don't, you're going to be cold, you're going to be hungry, you're going to not have what you need, and then you're going to go and you're going to try to take it from somebody what you need because you're cold. You're going to want to try to get in and get warm. You know, you'll be mad about what you don't have, and then you'll take it out on somebody else. So if the kids can know that we're behind them and we're on their side and that we're going to give them what they need to make it, and they're going to be able to take what we're going to give them and do what they're supposed to do with it, we could win. We could win. Just think, if we didn't have what we needed, what would we be doing? We'd be trying to get what we need as well. So we need to make sure they have what they need to make it, so they don't have to come after us with their angriness and, you know, take us out. And that's how I explained it to some of the kids today. You know, if you don't get what you need, you're going to be ready to take it from somebody else. Okay? So, hey, thank you. Thank you. Just send it out. Send the message, the flyers I sent out. Send it to somebody else so that they can listen in and we can get this thing going in the direction that it should be going. Amen.
Amen.
That's it.
I got the perfect song.
Cool. He's a good partner. Thank you, Pastor. You're the greatest.
You're welcome.
There's a man at my house, he's so big and strong. He goes to work each day and he stays all day long. He comes home each night looking tired and beat. He sits down at the dinner table and has a bite to eat. Never a frown, always a smile, when he says to me, "How's my child?" I said that I've been studying hard all day in school, trying very hard to understand the golden rule. I think I'll color this man father.
Color him,
I think I'll color him love.
Color him,
said I'm gonna color him father.
Color him, father.
I think I'll color the man love. Yes, I will.
Color him, father.
He says education is the thing if you want to compete, because without it, son, life ain't very sweet. I love this man and I don't know why, except I'll need his strength until the day that I die. My mother loves him and I can tell by the way she looks at him when he holds my little sister Nell. I heard her say just the other day that if it hadn't have been for him, she couldn't have found her way. I think I'll color him father.
Color him father.
I'm gonna color him love. Got to color him father.
Color him father.
I think I'll color this man love.
Color him love.
Our real old man, he got killed in the war, and she knows she and 7 kids couldn't have gotten very far. And then there he stood with that big wide grin. He married my mother and he took us in. And now we belong to the man with that big wide grin.